The first reading on the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Our young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." Come now, let us leave. This is the gospel of the Lord.
I greet you this morning in the Spirit-filled name of Jesus. Well, today we celebrate and we remember the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit onto the early Christian church. At the beginning, the church was just Jesus's what we call apostles and other disciples that had been with them, probably about 120. His Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and his message was brought to the people in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and further until today. His message has been brought to essentially all parts of this world. You know, the Holy Spirit should be the person of God with whom we're most familiar. And yet, he's probably the person of God that we're least familiar with. We should be most familiar with because he has been with us since we received faith in Jesus. I mean, he's the one who lives in us. He's the one who guides us and directs us. He's the one that we should be listening to constantly. And yet we humans seem to have a switch. And routinely we switch off that voice. We tune him out to our detriment. And so today, being Pentecost, I want to concentrate my message, his message, on the third person of God, the Holy Spirit. Because some people, I think, have an inaccurate idea about whom the Holy Spirit is. Some don't believe that he's God. You know, I've talked to some professed Lutherans who don't even believe there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that? I mean, I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus. He is no less than they are. Why, Jesus himself spoke highly about the Holy Spirit. I mean, just before our gospel lesson today in John 14, Jesus said this. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is a vital part of God. He's the third person of God that we need to know about. And Jesus, to emphasize the importance that Jesus put on his Holy Spirit, he said this, as recorded in Luke 12. Jesus said, everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, meaning himself, will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Wow. So tell me, do you think he's somebody important that we need to know about? I should say so. So, let's talk about him for a little bit. And understand, I could go on for hours about the Holy Spirit. Would you like me to do that? That's a rhetorical question. So, let's talk about him for a little bit. Now, if you read Scripture in its entirety, right? And you start with the Old Testament, we tend to think that the Old Testament is pretty much what God the Father had done, right? He created everything and so forth. He created us. But know that even in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There he was at the very beginning, before God the Father had made everything. And of course, we know that everything that God does, all three persons are involved in it. Okay? But we know that God created human beings, right? And it wasn't long after he created human beings that they disobeyed him in the garden, Adam and Eve. And when they disobeyed him, the curse of sin entered into God's perfect world. From then on, the Old Testament is pretty well focused on the Father's plan to set mankind right again with himself through the coming of the second person of God, the Messiah, Jesus. God tried and tried to get his people to stay focused on him and to reassure them that he had a plan for the Messiah to set our relationship right again. We read about God telling them about the Messiah, but we really don't see the Messiah coming in the Old Testament. However, we do see the Holy Spirit working in the Old Testament. I mean, I just mentioned there from the beginning in Genesis. But there's other examples. There's many examples if you examine Holy Scripture. For example, David, in Psalm 51, he wrote this, which, by the way, we sometimes say here in our worship services, and I'm sure many churches today are saying these very words. Psalm 51, David said, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor take your Holy Spirit from me." David understood the importance of having the Holy Spirit with him. And then in Isaiah was tasked by God to, kind of convict the Israelites about their rebellion against God. And over, they would rebel against God. Well, in chapter 63, he said this, "Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them." Huh? Remember what Jesus said? It wasn't until we read now what we call the New Testament that we read about the second person of God coming to earth. God, as Jesus, was born in human form. But the Holy Spirit was right there too. I mean, if you read Matthew chapter 1, the angel of God came to Joseph before Jesus was even born. And the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." There he was with Jesus. Jesus came to fulfill God's plan, to provide the way for all mankind to be reconciled back to him for all eternity. Something that he had intended to do from the very beginning. So Jesus was born, he grew up, and he began to preach, and he began to teach the people around Israel. And Jesus also preached the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit was with Jesus when he was baptized and he came down as the form of a dove, right? We know that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert after that to prepare Jesus for the temptation by Satan, but also to prepare him for his ministry that he was going to do for the next 3 years. Well, last week we talked about Jesus ascending into heaven, right? And Jesus told his disciples at that time, he said, "Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." You see that the Holy Spirit was with Jesus while Jesus was on this earth. Jesus called him the advocate, the counselor, the Spirit of truth, the power of God. Now, if you think about it, mostly what we talk about here, you know, in worship, and maybe in our Bible studies, and maybe in our personal studies, a lot of what we talk about is, you know, has to do with Jesus, has to do with what he said, and what he taught, and what he did, right? And that's totally appropriate, because Jesus said in our gospel lesson today from John 14, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Consequently, Jesus had many followers. Well, it was the Holy Spirit that worked in the hearts of the people that he was talking to make them followers, to give them faith in Jesus. But his message did resonate with some people back then. Those people that despised him, those people that condemned him, those people that would kill him before too long. However, in fulfillment of God's promise, Jesus rose from that death in victory. And the one who caused Jesus to rise from death in that victory was the Holy Spirit. God had finished Jesus' work to provide a pathway for us to be with him in eternal life. And so we see all through the Testament books the working of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, without noting and studying and learning about the working of the Holy Spirit there in those, at least those four books, you get a flat picture of Jesus. But when you study the Holy Spirit as a part of that, then you get a three-dimensional picture of God. Today, we remember and we commemorate the infusion of the Holy Spirit in the early church members, the believers that were there in Jerusalem. Prior to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was with them, working alongside them. But now, after Pentecost, he is working in them. He is with them all the time. You know, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, that John the Baptist had a premonition, had a prediction about Pentecost. Did you know that? Listen to what he said as recorded in Matthew 3. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Pretty good prediction there, right? And so on this 50th, this remembrance, this commemoration of the 50th day, Pentecost, we take special occasion to recognize the Holy Spirit's significant entry into the faith of all believers, which began God's phase, last phase of his desire for all believers. Remember what I said last week, what Jesus said last week. How our role in God's economy of life, Jesus wants two things. You remember that? For us to wait and for us to witness. Right? Now, you think we can do waiting, you know, with our hands tied behind our back, right? We can do waiting, standing on our head, right? Not so fast. We have to confess that while we wait for Jesus to come for us, we're sometimes distracted, sometimes sidetracked by the world's assertions, by, you know, false promises, by outright lies that the enemy puts out for us so that we don't get to the goal that God wants for each and every one of us. We need help, right? We need help to stay on track. We need help to stay in Jesus' love until we see Him again face to face. When we receive faith in Jesus, we also receive His Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit lives in us just like it lived in the early church's disciples, guiding us, letting us know when we do get off track. It's impossible for us in our own flesh to follow what God wants for us without the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus called Him the Counselor, the one who would guide us every day, the one who would convict us of our sins so that we can then ask for forgiveness from the Father. You know, the Holy Spirit is that still small voice of our conscience saying, you don't need to be doing this. You should stay away from that, right? Paul said in his letter to the Romans in chapter 8, he said this, the mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life. As I said, you know, the Holy Spirit is also our advocate. He speaks up for us to God. As Paul continued in Romans, he said, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, the Holy Spirit can't do everything for us. We still have a part in this, right? One thing that we can do and what God wants us to do is to be in His Word, in His Holy Scripture every single day, not just on Sunday, every single day. He shows us the truth about what we're reading in that Holy Scripture. Have you ever read Scripture verse over and over and over again, and then you read it one more time, and all of a sudden it all becomes clear to you? That's the Holy Spirit working in you. That's what God wants to do. And He shows us how we can remain in God's love. Because Jesus said in John 15, He said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. Well, what is His commands? That we love one another. Jesus said, my command is this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Do we do that while we're waiting? Sometimes. Sometimes we don't. Many times we struggle with that. Especially if someone wrongs us, right? You know, especially if someone is uncaring about us. Well, how about all the times we're uncaring about somebody else? And I'm not even talking about laying down your life for someone else. I'm just talking about common everyday decency. We need help with that too. The Holy Spirit is that help if we sincerely ask Him for help. Now, that's the waiting part. How about the second part? Jesus said that He wants us to be His witnesses in this world while we wait. You know what it is, telling others about what you've learned from Holy Scripture, what the Holy Spirit has enlightened for you because you've read Holy Scripture and all the things that Jesus has done for all of mankind. Those are the things that He wants us to be telling other people. we need help there too, don't we? We need help if we're going to honor what Jesus has given us to do. But he didn't just turn us loose and say, okay, you're on your own. No. He gave us himself in the form of his Holy Spirit to guide our spirits. Now, this is important because of what Jesus said in our gospel lesson today. Jesus said, all this I have spoken while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. His Holy Spirit came first to those early Christians that were in the upper room that morning in Jerusalem. And then he came to all believers. He came to us when we received faith in Jesus. The church is called the body of Christ. It's called the body of Christ for a reason. We now are his voice. We now are his hands and his feet to help other people, to love other people. We know that he is equipping us to do that work. You know, we all know what happened on Pentecost, don't we? We just read it in Scripture. We know that the Holy Spirit announced his arrival with a rush of wind and with tongues of fire appearing on all the people's heads. And then he gave them something. He gave them the ability to communicate in the language that they would most likely be witnessing in, right? That meant that everybody there heard the same gospel message in their own language. That was quite a bit different than what happened in our first lesson when God confused language so that the people would be more dependent on him and not try to overlook him. But here, now, the Holy Spirit is in the process of equipping the first disciples to carry the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And we know that they did because we're here 2,000 years later talking about Jesus. That Holy Spirit is even with us today. A new era of unity had begun back there at Pentecost, and his message, Jesus' message, was spreading to the ends of the earth. Well, we are his messengers too. We are his witnesses too. And he has equipped us too. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us his word that is enlightened by his Holy Spirit. And he has given us his commands. His command to love each other as I have loved you. Well, you know what? Telling other people about what Jesus has done is loving them. Telling others the truths that you found in the Bible, which the Holy Spirit has enlightened for you, is loving them. Not telling them when they stray from biblical teaching is not loving them. Not letting them know that they're going down the wrong track, that they're going into what the world wants them to go into, or that the politically correct crowd wants them to do, that's not loving them either. We should prepare to tell others the truth that we have found in Scripture, but we tell them in love. How we treat other people is part of our witness. Because people are watching us, you know? They're watching Christians. And it doesn't take much, as we know, for them to tune us out because they think we're hypocrites or something like that. When we ignore people that are hurting, what are we saying? When we allow people to go down the wrong path without even trying to set them straight, what are we telling them? When we cut people out of our lives because we don't agree with them, what is our witness You know what? We all fall short of that command. We need forgiveness, and we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to ask Him to lead us. You know, I haven't had much time up here, even though you're probably thinking, oh man, he's going long, to talk about the Holy Spirit. But I hope that you can see how vitally important the third person of God is, the Holy Spirit. So how do we know that we're living through the Spirit? How do we know that we're being led by the Spirit? By the fruit that the Spirit produces in us. And if you want to know what that is, Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians. We've read it many times, right? Galatians chapter 5, the spiritual fruit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Do you see those elements in your life? If you do, you're being led by the Spirit. You are remaining in God's love. So Paul also wrote this to the Galatians, and he writes it to us too. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. And I will add to that, let's show the fruit that the Holy Spirit has produced in us. Amen? Amen. Amen.